What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.
Hey, everyone. It's Steven Schleicher. I just want to give you a heads up. I have no idea what happened to the recording of this audio, but for some reason, my track is all crackly. I wasn't overdriven. In fact, I'm using the exact same microphone now that I used 10 minutes ago to record this episode. So I wanted to get this episode out there because we're talking about Gotham Academy, but I also want to apologize for the sound. I don't know what happened. I really am sorry. Good thing is some new equipment came just 5 minutes ago, and hopefully it will fix that going forward. So again, my apologies. Enjoy the show. Oh man, it is time once again for Dueling Reviews, and I'm excited about this week's Dueling Reviews. Two guys, one comic, infinite possibilities. I'm Steven Schleicher. Over there is Matthew Peterson. And this week, oh Matthew, I have been waiting for the God Ham Academy.
Yeah, because you do love your ham.
Yeah, I do. Since it was first announced. This story came out this week. It's by Becky Cloonan, Brendan Fletcher, art by Carl Kerschel. And first of all, I love Carl Kerschel's art. This is the guy, I think, years ago that had done some, like, sample Flash stuff. Mm-hmm. And I fell in love with it then, and I was like, oh, man, this guy, they got to employ him. And then I kind of lost track of him. And now, Gotham Academy. And then, of course, it's written by Becky Cloonan and Brendan Fletcher. So it's got that going for it, too, an added bonus.
I knew Becky Cloonan as an artist.
Yeah. She's done some stuff, too.
She has. She what is that thing, the Fabulous Killjoys thing?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think she drew Batman, didn't she?
She may have at one point.
That's kind of impressive when you think about it.
Well, here's what's impressive.
Yes.
This entire frickin' book!
Oh, you're such a sucker for anything with Batman.
No, it's not just Batman, because, you know, honestly, people are like, oh, it's just a Batman book. And Bruce Wayne does appear in this book.
He does. And the Bat Signal makes a couple of important
characters. Okay, so it is Gotham City, right? So you're going to see the Bat Signal regardless. But I'm in love with this concept of Gotham City as a living place, not just a the front for a Batman story. And you go in, you know, if you were to stop a Batman story as soon as Batman leaves the scene, it's not like all these construction peoples come down and start taking the fronts off the buildings and go, oh, we got to go over a couple of blocks and reset this for the next scene. I like Gotham as a living environment, which may be why I'm kind of liking the Gotham TV series and why I like the Gotham Knights series from the two series from a couple of decades ago. Let's tell stories that take place in Gotham City.
Mm-hmm. I agree, because when I was a kid in the 70s reading Detective Comics, well, not in the 70s, literally, it would have been about like 1982, 83. Detective Comics, basically Gotham City was New York in the rain.
Right.
But these days it's an entirely different beast. I really do like the scene setting throughout this.
Oh, yeah.
So when you see that wide shot of them walking through the campus.
The whole family circus, follow the trail.
Yeah.
I like that too. So this does take place at Gotham Academy, which is a prestigious private school that has grounds. And apparently it's always raining there, except at sunset when the sun breaks through for just a few moments. Many people have said this is Batman meets Harry Potter, and I'll go with that. Sure. Yeah. It's got that vibe of new kid. Maps is her nickname.
Yep.
Who is a freshman, and she's here. Her brother is already a member of the academy, and her friend Olive, who used to date her big brother, has been assigned to her as her escort, her nanny, for the first couple of weeks of her being at Gotham Academy.
And it's not exactly an ex-boyfriend thing either. There's some, you know, tweeny angst in there about how she's getting around to dumping her ex-boyfriend.
Right.
Which is, you know, that kind of detail is what I really enjoy about the
book.
Well,
I mean, and just all sorts of detail, and not from just the story perspective, but also or from the art perspective, but also in the story perspective, because in one shot, they're going to Professor McPherson's class, and they're doing a lecture on the history of Gotham City. And it's a history of Gotham City, not 101, but 201, Module 1, Architecture and the Arkhams, Module 2, Rebuilding and the Waynes, and Module 3, The Civil War and the Cobblepots. And it's like, wow, talk about referencing Batman history before, because what was the one, the Gotham Gates or whatever it was when they were building up the city of Gotham? This was a story that took place probably around the same time that All-Star Western was going on.
Yeah.
And they were talking about how they build the different bridges into the city. And then you've got the rebuilding in the Waynes. And then, of course, the reference to Civil War, which was the, well, okay, so maybe I don't know. I don't know if that is the New 52's version of the Civil War, or if that is the, or maybe it's the actual Civil War, or maybe if they're talking about
the actual Civil War.
You think so? Okay, because that would make a little bit more sense. Because then they would give some additional stuff going on there. I was thinking more about when they did the Ra's al Ghul, did the whole let's kill Gotham City, and then the earthquake happened.
The contagion.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure those stories happened, but they happened over the course of 17 minutes because 80 years of Batman stories took place in 7 years.
And there are, you know, students that Olive doesn't get along with that we get to see featured, and we kind of get an idea of who some of the other players might be. And then we get this huge hook that Gotham may be, or the Gotham Academy may be haunted.
Haunted! Yeah, and you know who it's haunted by?
Who?
Some villain!
You think it's some villain?
Have we seen a new 52 Gentleman Ghost?
No. But this guy, if you look, because in the last panel, so what ends up happening is Olive and Maps decide to skip the orientation or whatever the Bruce Wayne presentation and go climb up on top of the old bell tower to get a better look at the bat signal and the surroundings of Gotham Academy, because Maps is really interested in drawing a map of the Academy and also seeing this area that's been put off limits because of architectural reasons, which obviously it's not. And this leads to some commotion with Maps falling off the edge because of some crumbling architecture and Olive having to go in and save her and rescue her, which, and again, this is what I like a lot when a cover actually references things that go on in the issue.
Isn't that nice?
So, you know, we've seen the cover for months where these two girls are hanging from a rope and you're like, oh, what is this? They're sneaking into something. What's going on? No, it's actually showing you the end of the issue where
they're climbing
two are dangling
up the side
from
of a building and Sammy Davis Jr. is going to lean out and make a joke.
Yeah. Okay, I can see that. But it's so cool. And then there's something going on with Olive and Batman.
Yes. Bruce Wayne recognizes Olive, and Olive, once she's down off the ground, I'm not sure if she has a hallucination that
I think
Bruce
it's a
Wayne
hallucination.
Is Batman.
I think she just has this hallucination that Batman is approaching, and then when the light's out of her eyes, she's like, oh no, that's just Bruce Wayne.
It's just Bruce Wayne in his long coat.
Yeah.
Oh, little does she know. That's actually, I don't have a problem necessarily with the use of, you know, your Easter eggs. I feel like calling this Gotham Academy gives this story, I think, a better chance at lasting. Because, you know, a lot of times a story will come out or a new book will come out and people will be like, well, why should I even be interested? This is not a Batman story, seemingly.
Right.
This is a story, you know, about a girl at school with, you know, the Harry Potter influences and all of the things that we're seeing. But by making it a Gotham Academy book, it makes it more likely that maybe the Bat fans are going to go, oh, well, there could be Killer Croc in this, or there could be the Penguin, or the Headmaster could look exactly like Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, the Headmaster kind of looks like Ra's al Ghul, which worries me.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. I don't know.
He's got the five head and the triangular haircut thing going on.
Well, going back to what you were saying a moment ago about the naming convention, there's another series that I think it's over in Vertigo, the Dead Boy Detectives.
Yes.
That's essentially the same thing here. It's a private school. there's two dead boys, one live girl or something like that.
Very similar, yeah.
And I don't know how that series is doing. But
I think that's actually titled, or was at one point titled, Sandman Dead Boy Detective.
Oh, okay.
Because it rolled out of Sandman. Which
yeah.
It may make the point.
Yeah. But, so here's this thing. There's something creeping around the Academy. It's got these gold eyes.
What could it be?
Well, it may be Killer Croc. It may be, because we've seen the headmaster, Hammerhead, or whatever his name is.
Headmaster Hammer, yeah.
Yes.
Maybe Man-Bat. Have we seen a new 52 Man-Bat?
I don't know if we've seen a new 52 Man-Bat. I just know that the first time that we see him, and this, again, is another great reason to read this comic in a guided view, is you get this great close-up of the headmaster's creepy old hand touching the railing and everything that's associated with that. So I don't know if we're looking at a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde type thing. Or what else is going on? Because, you know, I think there's a lot hidden in the art that you really have to pay attention to.
Yes, and the art is incredibly intricate. I really do like the atmosphere of the Academy. Mm-hmm. One thing that I do love, they wear uniforms. Anytime you see the uniform plaid.
Yeah.
The plaid is really well done. They've actually, I think they've computer animated the plaid and they're just overlaying it. But.
Yes. In fact, that's what they do, because if you look at the plaid, it's always up and down, left and back and forth, and it's never at angles or anything like that. So
but
it's
it
just kind of slapped
works.
On there. Yeah, it does.
It doesn't necessarily draw you out of it, and it really kind of adds a little bit of consistency, because a lot of the characters are wearing their plaids. But I think that the weird gothic expectations of it are really fun when they're offset. At one point, they're at lunch.
Mm-hmm.
So they're at this little heating bar, and they're having their waffles and their scrambled eggs, and then you cut back, and it's this huge, creepy, empty room that looks like a train station.
Yeah.
I just love that atmosphere. I love all the backgrounds throughout this issue.
Yes. What do you think of the characters? What do you think of all of Silverlock and... I forget what Maps's real name is, but...
I don't know if I know him.
I will just call her Maps.
I am... hesitant about Olive Silverlock, because Olive Silverlock has all of the earmarkings of a chosen one, and I'm a little nervous about that chosen one mystique. I mean, she's got funny colored hair.
Oh, so you're worried that she's basically a Mary Sue?
Well, I'm worried that she's going to be a Harry Potter, or be a character that, you know, her secret mystery is mysterious secret, and that might get on my nerves. I think the fact that her name is Olive Silverlock is the biggest worry, but all in all, I like the way the issue plays.
Why so?
I like the fact that she's doing the standoffish weird thing, and then she realizes that she's kind of being a jerk, and so she goes and finds Maps, and they have that sweet moment where she's like, we could totally climb up the tower if you want, and Maps gets this incredibly subtle smile that I like.
What sold me on Maps was, you know, she's super excited, and she's super, it's fun to be here, and this is something that she gets to do, because she's not at home. She's with her big brother and her brother's girlfriend that she likes a lot, and she's just super excited. But then what sold it to me is when she's wearing her D20 shirt, please. And then as they're climbing up the tower, she's talking about, oh, yeah, you know, and then this one time I did this and da-da-da-da, and then you realize
she's
describing.
I totally led my party up a tower, and we're all level 9s now, so it wasn't like we were worried about it.
You suddenly realize she's role-playing, and it's like, all right, she's awesome.
Yeah, she's a cute kid. The moment that sells it for me is they're sitting, and she's like, something weird's going on. That building totally doesn't look unsafe.
Yeah.
And Olive is like, well, we could theoretically go look. And she reaches in her bag and whips out binoculars and a huge flashlight. She's like, let's go!
Yeah, I just it's energy. It's really super positive energy. If I were going to say she reminds me of another character from the DC universe, it's Impulse. It's Bart Allen. From back in the day, because he was always just like, yeah, let's go, let's do it. I'm not going to sit still. And she's kind of that way. So I really like those two. I like Bruce Wayne's portrayal in here as just the stoic rich guy who's there to encourage students and to give money to the Academy and to make that all important guest appearance. And I cannot wait to see what happens next in this book. if DC were going to do a weekly series, I would almost be on board with this as a weekly series, except that as a weekly series, I'd probably quickly get overwhelmed by all the issues coming my way and not be able to read it.
Yeah, I have that problem right now with the new 50 Futures End 2,
Oh, man, is that still going on?
Yeah, it's like 25 issues in or something, and
apparently,
I just can't keep up with it.
Apparently, Future Superman is Billy Batson in disguise.
Yes, Future Super Shazam Man.
Shazam
Man. So what happened
Man.
To the real Superman? I'll tell you what happened to the real Superman.
What?
He's on Earth S.
I'm telling you, man.
Earth S.
They're bringing it all back. No, well, actually, you know what's probably happened is that he and New 52 Nightwing have shrunk themselves down to the Bottle City of Kandor, and they're having some Flamebird and what was it?
Flamebird.
Yeah, Nightwing and Flamebird adventures.
Are there actually New 52 Kandorians?
In Action Comics, Brainiac came and tried to shrink down Metropolis in that first arc. Mm-hmm. And I know that there were a bunch of shrunken cities in Brainiac's possession.
France or?
No, like other planets type stuff.
Okay.
So I'm pretty sure that there's a bottled city of Krypton somewhere. And if there's not, DC did it wrong.
Yeah, and I think that with this book, I'm not necessarily worried, but I am concerned about where it could go. I do like the fact that it has some really sweet moments in it.
Yes.
And it ends with Olive and her roommate hanging out in their room and just kind of bonding and being silly about whether or not there is a ghost. And of course, there totally is. It's right behind
you. It's right behind you, peeking at underage girls doing something, and it's not appropriate.
That's either a ghost or Shaggy.
That's how you know he's a bad guy, because he's spying on underage girls.
Steven.
I'm just saying.
Steven.
That's what he's doing. I think it's some kind of creature, because it's some kind of creature. Yeah. Oh, and I know that it's foreshadowed, because on your map page, there's a scientist guy mixing chemicals.
Mm.
And so that ties back into my Jekyll and Hyde, and also your Man-Bat kind of theory there.
Right, I did see that. And as long as we are keeping those sort of things, you know, if that turns out to be Kirk Langstrom, or if that turns out to be, you know, Amos Fortune or Hugo Strange or somebody, I think I'll be a little disappointed, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, no, I totally understand. I totally understand. But I don't... Man, this book is so good. And I think here's why I think it fits into the category of I want more as fast as you can give it to me. Mm-hmm. The first thing is you've got two really cool characters. And I know people are going to say, they've got two really good female characters. It goes beyond that. These are two solid characters. And if you've got solid characters, it doesn't really matter if they're boys or girls. In this case, I'm glad they're girls.
Yeah.
But they're super strong characters just from the outset that they have a direction, they have ideals, they have goals to a point, and I like that a lot. The second thing, obviously, is the setting, and that's where the art comes in with the moody coloring, the dramatic lighting and the camera angles and everything that Kershaw puts in here, and that's fantastic. And the third thing that I think the reason why I like this book is it feels like the editors didn't get too involved. This is just kind of like, go ahead and do whatever you want.
It's creatively driven rather than editorially.
Yes. Yeah. And it just feels like the only mandate was you got to put Bruce Wayne in there somehow.
See, and I'm actually fine with that. I like I say, I like the way it's experimental. It's not, another book with Superman in it. And yes, it has a Batman tie. It has a Batman element. But I think the Batman element is played really low-key and really well.
Low-key.
Low-key. That'd be even funnier if this was Thor Academy. But, yeah, and I echo your thoughts on the fact that these are characters. First of all, they're young teens.
Yeah.
So, it's not another group of, 25-year-old tough guy.
Well, loaders. And they're not all angsty and dark.
Yes. They're teenagers, so teenagers get angsty, teenagers get dark. But I like the interaction. I like the interplay. I love the art in this issue.
Oh, man, the art is wonderful.
And, you know, as much as I hate to agree with you both, you know, on principle and because, hey, we do this quite often, I really want to see more of this, too. I want to see more of the maps. I want to see more of the academy. I want to see the more of the teenage girls having teenage girlfriend adventures and just kind of running around.
Wonder if I can buy
I want to know
pages.
what the deal is with the rotten kid.
Oh, yeah, the one that's selling firecrackers.
Yeah, who claims that somebody hid firecrackers on him. What if the monster did?
No, he's definitely selling that stuff on the black market.
But yeah, it's if you're worried about Batman, Harry Potter, it's not that. There are elements here that are definitely going to be familiar to readers of that, but it does it in a way that I think is at least unique. It plays with the bits and pieces in a way that I haven't seen a million times before. Like that.
Go over to Carl Kerschel's blog post. It looks like the creature is some kind of werewolf.
No, not spoilers.
Yeah, well, it could be a fan art, could be something that he's done, but there's a
picture spoiler
with three characters and then a werewolf shadow in the background.
Bad, Steven.
I went over to his site because I was hoping he had some information on how you could buy these pages. And I know that there's a lot of computer coloring. Well, it's obvious, computer coloring. Right. But holy crap, man. This is good stuff. And when I see really good art, I just cannot stop looking at it. And this is really good art, and I can't stop looking at it.
Yep.
And this is a book that if you are soured on capes and tights, then but you want to be still say, hey, I wear my DC badge with honor, go and buy this book. This is darn good reading, and it's so worth your time.
I would be interested to know, too. Bruce Wayne makes a reference to having gone to the academy. When was that?
Well, he says for a short time, right?
Oh, probably.
So my guess
is
before his parents died.
Right before he went to see Zorro.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
From the age of 8 to the age of 8 and Zorro.
Or, you know, shortly after. Was he for sure 8 or was he 10?
Oh, I don't know. The TV show says he was like 13.
Yeah, so if you're tying those kinds of things, he would definitely be the age that Maps is going to the academy for a short time.
Well, and you know, the time frames as they used to exist can't be the same because if Dick Grayson became Robin when he was 8 and that was 5 years ago, he'd only be 13, but he's clearly like 23. So,
yeah.
Dick Grayson was 8 when he became Robin in 1940.
Your bottom line?
My bottom line is go check this out. This is a good book. It looks good. It reads well. It's not like anything else on the stands. And if for no other reason than to reward experimentation, we should pick this book up and check it out. Because if we keep telling DC we don't want the same old thing, but then all we buy is Batman Court of Owls crossovers and Sinestro Corps Wars, that's all they're going to print.
Speaking of Batman. Batman issues, beginning with issue 35.
Batman.
Yep,
Batman. Is it a big crossover?
It's not it's In-Game Part 1 is the title of the arc. Batman run number 35 jumps to $4.99 later this month.
Forever?
I think it runs through issue 37 is for sure that they said that they're going to keep that $4.99 price tag because they said that they're increasing the page count to 40 pages per issue. Mm-hmm. So a couple of months ago, you and I were talking about, hey, do you think that, you know, and I said by the end of the year, I think we're going to see some $4.99 books.
Right.
Looks like we're going to get that.
I don't like it.
Here's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping it's just because they've got a huge story to tell and they're trying to get it in before the end of the year. And it's got 40 pages in it, 30, which are story, 10, which are probably a backup, hopefully not 10 pages of ads. Although, 10 pages of ads should offset the cost of a 40 page book. But I'm hoping that I know, and I like Batman and I like Greg Capullo and, Scott Snyder doing Batman. I think they are an awesome team together. What I'm afraid of is that this book will continue to sell very, very well, even with the $4.99 tag. And then DC's holding the line at $2.99 will be $4.99.
Holding the line at $3.99, except where I don't.
Yeah. So that's that was 2010 when DC came out with their Hold the Line at $2.99, and now their most prominent books are about $3.99.
That's nearly 5 years ago, though. I mean,
I know that isn't that crazy, but that's still stuck in people's heads that DC came out and said, "Hey, man, we know that those Marvel guys are jacking up the prices, but we're going to hold the line at $2.99."
And by people, you mean Steven?
No, there's a lot of people that still remember that, especially when we come to talking about price increases. I just thought it was interesting.
They made a big deal about it. They put it on all the covers. I mean, it's understandable for people to stick with that too. But
man, I mean, that was kind of
there was a time when they said the Crisis on Infinite Earths meant never again a multiverse.
Yeah.
Too.
I guess that was part of my rant the other day, short rant on Twitter, when I said, A, you can increase the price of your comics and make more money, or you can lower the price of your comics, tell really good stories, and make more money. Because the idea is, if you create a really good product, people are going to want it. And if it's really consistently good and people know that, and you can give it to them at a lower price, like $1.99 or maybe $1.50, you could probably sell six times the amount because people aren't shelling out $5 for the comic. And so in the end, you're going to end up making more but selling more. The problem is you have to work harder at telling those really good stories that are going to get people coming back week after week after week.
Yeah, and I think comics, like movies, are caught up in that blockbuster theory.
Yeah.
That, you know, so many hands and so much energy is going into the comics that they're afraid if they don't have huge stuff happening at $4.99 every month, that they're not going to break even.
Yeah.
You know, if Transformers 4 doesn't make $270 million in its first weekend, it's a failure and it rolls off the end of the pier.
Right.
I think that really does play into comics as well, which is kind of sad given the nature of the beast.
Well, and that's why I think that people need to be buying Gotham Academy, right? Mm-hmm. Because if this is something that we want to see, it needs to have a really huge launch because comic book stores know and have an expectation of what the drop-off is going to be the next month.
Oh, yeah.
Publishers know what the expected drop-off is month after month. What would be awesome is to see Gotham Academy have more sales in issue two than they did in issue one.
Buck the trends, folks.
Because this first issue really feels like a pilot. It is basically sets you up, but my guess is you can come in next issue and it's going to kind of pick right up and kind of reset to, hey, there's something going on here at the Academy. Let's do some investigations.
And as pilots go, I think it's more successful rather than Gotham : I'm a good cop, because there's a lot. They're not trying so hard here.
Yeah.
This is something where they have a story that they want to tell. They have characters that they want to play with. They have a really nice atmosphere and a really good overall tone for the book. And they're not having to shove in, you know, sneaky guys telling jokes who may or may not be the right height and build. And they're not, you know, letting Jada Pinkett Smith chew the scenery.
I like her as an actress. Other things that she's done has been really good, but
Fish Mooney is not the best work that anyone has ever done. Creatively, dialogue-wise, acting-wise, Fish Mooney is the weak link of Gotham. I think you and I agree.
I don't know. I want so much for that character to be really bad and real evil, and she kind of is not so evil that people are afraid of her because the cops will go to her and deal with her. They don't go to Carmine Falcone.
You want her to be Rick in Casablanca.
Kind of, yeah, and she doesn't come off that way.
No, she's trying to be Rick in Casablanca, but she's acting like
Cesar Romero.
No, I was going to say the guy from Stroker and Hoop. She's acting like Larry, the next door neighbor from Three's Company. there's that fine line, you know, between the Christopher Lee Dracula and the Gary Oldman Dracula. They're both interesting in their own way. But if you really want Christopher Lee Dracula, you can't name the character Fish Mooney. Fish Mooney.
Yeah.
Fish Mooney.
I had a theory about what happens to her after she's gone and what that club becomes. Oh, I have this theory that when Penguin comes back, that Fish Mooney's club will become the first Iceberg Lounge.
Club Penguin.
Yeah.
And Fish Mooney will actually grow her hair out and turn it blonde and go join the X-Men.
There you go.
Yeah.
Coming out next week from Dark Horse Comics, we've got Abe Sapien number 17, Black Sad Amarillo hardcover. Oh my gosh, listeners, if you have not read Black Sad, this is a European comic. It is so gorgeous and so good, but it's also anthropomorphized animals, but not, but, and somewhat speciesized in that certain animals do not interact with other animals, yet there are times when other animals will get it on with other animals and it's no big deal. So it's just, it's just a really, really, really weird book. And I already did read it and it's a good story. That's a $17.99 book, but these come out so rarely because of the way European comics are published. I think the last one that came out here in the US was like 2 years ago. So
I think we reviewed it.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we did. Grendel versus Shadow number 2 comes out, as does Star Wars Rebel Heist trade paperback.
Rebel Heist.
Not to be confused with Star Wars Rebels, which kicks off next week or this weekend on Disney XD.
Cool.
Over at DC Comics, it is the 35 week, and the big issue that everybody's looking forward to next week, Batgirl number 35.
Who do we want to call it?
I think somebody's already called it. In fact, I think
they have.
No. I think either Ashley has called it because she was upset that we got Gotham Academy, and you can go and look, but I'm pretty sure Batgirl number 35 is already taken.
Batgirl!
Coffin Hill number 12, Constantine number 18, Earth 2 number 27, Injustice Gods Among Us year 3 number 1, Clarion the Witch Boy, it's just called Clarion though.
Bum bum bum.
Number 1 comes out next week.
Are you sure that's next week?
I am looking at 10/8/2014, which would be next week.
Clarion she called number Batgirl, one. But not till the 15th, so technically.
Well, we'll move her around a little bit.
We won't be me.
I'll tell her to get that as a day of review. Clarion number one could be good. Let's put that down. World's Finest Clarion, number 27.
The Witch Boy, bum, bum, bum.
Yep. It's just called Clarion, though. But we know he's the Witch Boy.
Clarion with a K?
Which way do you like Clarion? Do you like him in the way that he's been portrayed in Constantine? Do you like the way that he was portrayed in the Grant Morrison's take on him when they were doing the
Seven Soldiers?
The Seven Soldiers. Or do you like the Clarion that was portrayed in the Batman animated series?
I like the Clarion from Young Justice.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Oh,
where
yeah,
Peter
that's
David
right.
played him kind of for laughs.
He did
his own scare chords. My name is Clarion. Bum, bum, bum.
Yes, that's right. I forgot about that. Very good. Very good.
I liked the one that Morrison and Fraser Irving did.
With the
in the
everybody
Seven
living
Soldiers.
Underground and the whole
yeah, because that was disturbing and creepy all at once. Yeah. Which was nice.
Yeah, I guess.
So that was
it was probably my least favorite of the interpretations of him.
Well, when I look at Seven Soldiers as kind of like an Earth 2 thing, because it didn't really cross over correctly and
Earth M for Grant Morrison.
Well, there was an Earth M.
Oh, okay. IDW Publishing has Dead Squad number 1. It's got the October Faction number 1, Ragnarok number 2, not Ragnarok and Roll, that's from Boom Studios.
That's different.
And certainly don't confuse that with anything coming out of Marvel.
Ragnarok.
Yes. Star Slammers Remastered number 7, Winter World number 3, and X-Files Classic Season 1 Hardcover Volume 1, $29.99 right there. Image Comics has 68 Homefront number 2, Birthright number 1, Black Science number 9, Copperhead 1 is a second printing, but Copperhead 2 also arrives, Dark Engine number 3, Ghosted number 14, Imperial number 3, Manhattan Projects number 24, Punks the Comic number 1, I have no idea what that's about, Sex Criminals number 8, Spawn 247, oh Matthew, there's your favorite Spawn.
Spoon! I remember when Spawn 200 came out 9 years ago.
Well, he's doing it on his own.
Well.
And he's.
No, you're thinking of Savage Dragon. Todd McFarlane farms out.
Oh, does he farm all that out now?
Oh, yeah. He's been farming it for years. I think around 200 he came back to the book for a run. And then he was writing and someone else drawing, perhaps.
Okay. Marvel Comics has Amazing Spider-Man number 7, Eosva. Oh, Edge of Spider-Verse.
Yosva.
I thought it was some Greek thing. He's going back to ancient Greek, and he will fight the Cyclops. Oh, wait, the wrong crossover.
To ancient Greece, where burning Sappho laughed and sang and stroked the fine dark sea in the temple by the moonlight. Wadidoda.
All New Ultimates number 9, Captain Marvel number 8, Avengers and X-Men Axis number 1. Holy crap.
Axis.
That's the book for people to read next week, right?
Axis of Puppets, something goes, yeah. I don't know. It's a crossover. It scares me.
Nightcrawler number 7, Rocket Raccoon number 4. Let's see. Oh, Thanos, A God Up There Listening, number 1. I think that is a collection of a digital series, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe I'm mistaken. Somebody will write it and let us
know.
You're
probably mistaken.
Archie 660 comes out next week. Note price, $3.99.
Wow, that's like double price.
Oh, man. Atomic Robo, Knights of the Golden Circle number 4 comes out. Bad Dreams number 5. I thought there was a Battle Pug. Nope, no Battle Pug next week. Betty and Veronica Comic Digest, $2.27. Note the price. Ooh, this is going to help DC out a little bit. Betty and Veronica Digest number 227. I think this is the one where they're leaving Riverdale. $4.99 is the price tag on that. Big Trouble in Little China number 5. Caliban number 7. Chaos number 1. High-end Adlered Chaotic Green Edition. $50. So if you're into chaos and you like your Charlie Adlered Chaotic Green, then that's the book for you.
I had a Chaotic Green salad.
Dead Letters number 5, Dick's End of Time number 5. That's a mature readers, but then it's also got Dick's End of Time number 5 offensive cover.
Is that from Avatar?
I don't know who it's by. Evil Ernie number 1 comes out next week. Lots of variants there. That's from Dynamite Entertainment. Food Wars comes out. Fraggle Rock Journey, Everspring number 1. Lots of number 1s coming out next week. God is Dead number 22. Hexed number 3. Howard Lovecraft and the Three Kingdoms gets a hardcover treatment. They've got a Kickstarter project either just finished or about to be finished. Jennifer Blood, Born Again number 3. Magnus Robot Fighter trade paperback volume 1. Mutt's Diaries trade paperback. Let's see what else we got here. Parallel Man, number 1.
Parallel Man.
Red Sonja Black Tower, number 1. Sabrina, number 1. Ooh, is that the Sabrina's Tales of Horror next
week?
Yeah,
I think it is.
Ooh, that would be good, too. But I think you've already claimed that one.
I haven't.
Somebody has. I saw
somebody has. And he's all like, I don't really want it. So I'm going to take it.
Teen Dog, number 2. Terminal Hero, number 3. War Stories number 1. Oh, and here's a number 0 next week. Exo Manowar number 0. For you Exo Manowar fans.
All three of you.
Well, hey, there must be more than that because there are 7 variant covers. Five of them variants? 5 of them interlocking.
Wow.
And this is the bad one. Again, man, previews is really bad in the way that they try to shorten titles. Exo Manowar number 0, cover C. Interlocking Johnson. I'm telling you,
we'll
wrap up our list of upcoming books with Zombie Tramp Ongoing number 3. It's not me that's making this stuff up. This is previews doing it to themselves.
Interlocking Johnson and the Temple of Johnson Doom.
And the Zombie Tramps.
We named the dog.
Oh, man, that'd be like a really cool band name, Interlocking Johnson and the Zombie Tramps.
Oh, my God.
Copyright that real quick, Matthew.
Write it down. Copyright Major Spoilers 2014.
All right, everybody. That wraps it up for this installment of Dueling Reviews. Thank you so much for downloading and sharing this with a friend. If you want to help us out, number of ways you can do that. You can use that Amazon link over at majorspoilers.com. You can pre-order upcoming album from Interlocking Johnson and the Zombie Tramps. The good thing is, every time you use that Amazon link over at majorspoilers.com, a little bit comes our way and allows us to continue to do shows like this week after week after week. Sometimes we are a little bit better. Sometimes, maybe not. Also, you want to help us out in another way and get some free stuff to boot, head over to members.majorspoilers.com. A small monthly contribution, again, goes a long way and allows us to create more and do more. And like I said, there is free content over there for you to access each and every month. Anything else, Matthew?
Nothing safe for work.
Follow Matthew at Mighty King Cobra. You can follow me
at
Major Spoilers. And until next time, keep reading comics.
Because if you don't, we have to. Wait, we would anyway. Never mind.
Major Spoilers is copyright 2014.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.